Now we're holding on nine. Dalet Amud Aleph, the second line. The first question on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, is an oral allowed to eat mice sheni? We established that an oral is not allowed to eat truma. We know, of course, he can't eat from the Korban Pesach or other pachim. What about mice sheni? By the way, the Gemara just called it Meiser at the beginning of the Sugya, but in general, when we refer to Meiser unspecified, usually we mean Meiser Sheni because that's the one that has special dinim about what you can do with it. Meiser Rishon, for the most part, not, although we're going to see in the Gemara that there are opinions that disagree on that. But in general, when we say Meiser unspecified, it usually means Meiser Sheni. So the question was Oral Ma'uba Meiser, and so we brought that Rav Sheshes had brought a Mishnah from Bikurim that listed a bunch of differences between Truma versus Meiser, and this wasn't on the list there, implying that an Oral is also in both of them. But the Gemara said not necessarily, it could be Ton of Ashayer, and then the last thing we said was that in fact Rav Ashi points out that you can clearly see that Mishnah is in fact Ton of Ashayer. It doesn't give an exhaustive list, so therefore we don't really have a proof yet. So now the Gemara is getting back to that point. Can an oral eat Meiser Sheni? So Toshma, we learn in a Braisa, Nishtairu by Tzitzin HaMa'akinis HaMila. If a person had a Bris Mila, but there are shreds of skin left that are active, which we learned the other day, that if there's skin of the Orla left there, covering most of the circumference of the Atara, or even not most of the circumference, but in one particular place, most of the height of it, then that means the mila is no good, and then those pieces of skin have to be cut away. So then the Braisa says, if a person has that, so he can't eat any of these things, truma, pesach, kodshim, or meiser. Now, again, when we say meiser, usually unspecified, it means meiser sheni. So my lav meiser dogon. So aren't we referring then to meiser of grain, and the other things that are chayiv and meiser, which again, when we talk about meiser unspecified, usually means meiser sheni. So there you go. This braisa would clearly be saying that somebody who is an oral, which in this case he's considered because of those shreds of skin that are left, can't eat meiser sheni. The meiser's life, not necessarily doesn't mean that kind of meiser. Meiser behema. You could say that the meiser it refers to over here is meiser behema. You take 1/10 of your animals and bring them as a korban. The korban is once you bring the korban, then the meat of it is also to zorim, is mutter to zorim. It's mutter to everybody. It's not reserved only for kohenim. But again, being that it's kodeshim and oral can't eat it, maybe that's what the braisa means. Maaseh ma'aseh behemah ain't a kodeshim. Well, it already lists kodeshim. Maaseh behemah is a form of kodeshim. So why would it list it separately? So the Gemara says, "Well, itaymech, really, it's not Pesach but Tani Kodshim." New, and it also says Pesach and it says Kodshim. Also, you could say the same thing. The Pesach is another kind of Kodshim, so why list it separately? The Gemara says that's not really a sot. So therefore, in other words, the point is the Gemara is saying, so okay, the Braisa is mentioning Kodshim, and then it mentions in particular two kinds of Korbanos within Kodshim, Pesach and Meiser. Doesn't necessarily show that we're talking about Meiser Sheni. But the Gemara says no. Bishloim of Pesach for Kodshim Tzrich. No, because there's a reason why it needs to mention Pesach and single it out from all the other Kodshim. The Itan of Pesach, because if it only said the Pesach and didn't mention other Kodshim, you would say, Mishum Da'al Revas, Pesach Ksiva. After all, where do we have the whole concept that an oral is excluded anyway? The one place where it mentions it explicitly is by the Korban Pesach. It's from there that we learn it out to everything else, as we talked about at the beginning of the Perek. So because it says over there, Aval Kodshim Emalo, you would think maybe it doesn't apply to other Kodshim. Maybe that din is unique to the Korban Pesach. The Iton of Kodshim, but on the other hand, if it only said Kodshim, have Amin Amai Kodshim Pesach. Well, then you would misunderstand and say that the Kodshim you mean is specifically not all Kodshim, but rather specifically the Pesach. So we understand why it needed to single out Pesach and then list Kodshim, that way it makes it clear that this din of oral applies equally well to all Kodshim, not just to the Korban Pesach. So the fact that it says Pesach separately doesn't mean that Kodshim doesn't mean the rest of the Kodshim. Ela Meiser Behema Lomeli, but there would be no reason to say Meiser Behema. There's no particular reason why we would think that this din applies uniquely to Meiser Behema, or conversely, that doesn't apply to Meiser Behema, that other Kodshim can't be eaten by an oro or nice behema could. So once we're at that, then there's no reason to list mice behema separately. So therefore, if it says in the braisa miser can't mean mice behema, it must mean mice dagon, namely mice sheni. Okay, the Gemara says fine. Ela mice rishon. However, we could still say that the braisa is talking about mice rishon and saying that an oro can't eat it. But Rav Meir he got a mice rishon also lazor. Namely, our braisa would be going according to Rav Meir, who holds that mice rishon is also to Zorim. We're going to continue with this topic about Truma and Meiser and who's allowed to eat them and who's not. We're going to continue in the next Perek, Bez Hashem. Mainly, we're going to be talking about it in terms of, again, of which wives of Kohenim are and aren't allowed to eat it. But the point is, we're gonna go over there. We're gonna have a sugya over there on the Pei Peivov that's gonna talk about various dinim of who's allowed and not allowed to eat meiser. And now the general understanding of most chachamim is that meiserishin, yes, you have to give it to the Levi, but once you do, then anybody can eat it. The Levi himself and his family don't have to eat it. Anybody could. Reb Meir disagrees and says that it's also tazarin. Well then, Reb Meir might well say also that, listen, an oral is in effect, or is in effect like a zor, or at least he would say, maybe he doesn't actually say that, but he would say at least that arelos is something very severe, and therefore it bars him from eating maaser rishon. But what we were asking, the original question, whether an oral can eat maaser sheni, would be according to the chachamim. And the chachamim will hold that maaser rishon has no particular kedusha in it, and anybody can eat it. They might well say that an oral is allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring another proof. Mid-toni Rabchia Barab Midifti, oral also b'shtei maisris. So Rabchia Barab Midifti teaches a braisa that says that an oral is also to eat two kinds of maiser. Now, what do we mean two kinds of maiser? My lav, echad maiser dogan, v'echad maiser behema. On the face of it, now we know there are at least three kinds of maiser so far that we've discussed. Maiser rishon and maiser sheni, which are both taken from grain, and maiser behema. Now, if we're saying two of them are off limits to an oral, one of them obviously has to be Maisa Behema, given that it's a korban. Now, here we can't say why we're singling it out, because we're not mentioning the other korbanos. We're just mentioning it because we're giving like a handy way to remember that all of them are Maisa. But of the other one, it can't be Maisa Rishon on the face of it, because again, Maisa Rishon is Mutu to Zorim, according to the Chachamim, and there'd be no reason an oral can't eat it. So the other one has to be Maisa Sheni. So my love, echad ma'aser dogan ve'echad ma'aser behema. On the face of it, then one of them is ma'aser of grain, and within that, what we mean is ma'aser sheni of grain and other things, and the other one would be ma'aser behema. So that would answer the question that yes, ma'aser dogan is off limits to zorim, is off limits to arayim. And the Gemara says, nah, how ochanami ma'aser rishon with a mayor. Here also, you could say that the two ma'aser was talking about on Meister Vision and Meister Behema, and this Braiser would be according to the Meir. Not necessarily is it saying anything about Meister Shein. Okay. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Braiser says, Oinen Oster the Meister, and Oinen, a person who his relative passed away on that day, is also to eat Meister Sheini, and that we know because the Pasuk says explicitly, Loyachalti Ba'oni Mimenu. On the other hand, he's allowed to eat truma. We established before that since it says b'chol zor lo yechal boy, it means a zor can't eat truma, but an onen, a koyin was an onen could. And also an onen is allowed to be involved with preparing and sprinkling the parah aduma. Rashi points out, after all, it's not a korban. If it was a korban, then yes, an onen would not be able to be involved with bringing it. In general, a kohen who's an onen, with the exception of a kohen gadol, is not allowed to do the avodah. But this is not kochim mizbeach, so therefore it's not an issue. And since we find that a tzvul yoim, we learned yesterday that a tzvul yoim is allowed to be involved with preparing the parah aduma, all the more so an onen. Tosfos also adds, okay, you have an onion is also to eat meiser, and a tzvul yom is mutter to eat meiser. So you see that in some ways a tzvul yom is more lenient than an onion. On the other hand, we're talking about eating. But when it comes to touching, when it comes to touching things, we never find that an onion should be more stringent than a tzvul yom. So if tzvul yom is allowed to do the parah aduma, certainly an onion is. The braisa continues. Tvul yoim also b'truma or mutter b'para. A tvul yoim is also in truma, unlike an oinen said is also to eat truma. A tvul yoim is mutter to eat truma, as we're going to learn later on how we know that. umutav parah. The Shmuel Yoim also, as we learned previously, is allowed to prepare the parah adama, because since that he's out tohar, it means miklal shir tumah. It means that he's tohar only to a certain extent, but he still has a degree of tumah. Namely, that means the Shmuel Yoim. So also the tumah umutav parah over meiser. A Shmuel Yoim is also allowed to eat meiser sheni, as we're going to discuss. So he's also to eat tumah, but he's allowed to eat meiser sheni, as we're going to discuss on Omud Beis how we know that. Mechusav Kippurim, also b'parah, and then you have a Mechusav Kippurim, somebody who, you have certain people who are Tomei, where part of their process of Tara is that they need not only to go to the mikveh, which all Tomeim do, and not only do they need a head of Shemesh, but they also need to bring a korban the next day. A Zav, a Metzora, a Yeledes, there's a couple of examples. So all of those, Mechusav Kippurim, also b'parah, they are also to be preparing and sprinkling the parah adroma, umutav truma over meiser, but they are allowed to eat truma and meiser. So in other words, the braisa is sort of like giving us a triangle over here. You have three things. You have three conditions that block a person from doing certain things. Oinen, tvo yoim, and mechusav kippurim. And you have three things. You have three things that we can talk about whether they can be involved with them or not. Meiser, truma, and parah. And for each one of them, we have. For each one of them, we have two things, one thing no, and two things yes. The Oinen is also in Meiser, but not the other two. The Tvul Yom is also in Truma, but not the other two. And the Mechusav Kippurim is also in Parah, but Mutter in the other two. Now, the Im Issa. Now, if you're going to tell me that an oral is not allowed to eat meiser either, then you could bring another one over here. You don't need to mention only the oinin, the tvul yoim, and the mechusav kippurim. You could bring in another one. Nisni, it could say, oral also the truma, or mutav parah over meiser. If an oral is in fact allowed to eat meiser sheni, then the braisa could have brought that as another example, where we have somebody who among these three things is prevented from one of them, but is mutav to the other. The fact that it doesn't implies that an oral is also in two of them, and therefore he's not similar to these, and therefore it didn't bring them in. The Gemara says no. Haitana Tana Dveira Bakivahi Demarbila La Oral Katame. No, because you could say that the Tana of this Braisa, is Rabbi Akiva, which we learned previously, we discussed on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, the Marbile La Oral Katame, where does he learn Bechlal that an oral is not allowed to eat Truma? We learned earlier in the Perek, he learns it from the Psukim that talk about Tomei, the Tanya Rabbi Akiva Oimit Ish Lodabas as an oral, because we said when we were discussing how we know that a Tomei can't eat Truma, we had Rabbi Eliezer brought a Gzeira Shava for it, and Rabbi Akiva says, never mind the Gzeira Shava, the fact that it says Ish, Mizera Aaron, and then it continues to talk about Tmeim. The words ish also includes an oral. So Rabbi Akiva is learning the oral from the Tomei, so therefore he would say that in fact the oral has the same dinim as the Tomei. So therefore he would say that in fact the oral can't be involved with the Parah Adroma. In fact, we learned before. We learned before on Ayin Beis, we brought a Braisa that said that the oral can sprinkle Parah Adroma. We said Rabbi Lazar had said there oral shehiza has osik shera, and then we brought a brisa to that effect, but then we brought another brisa saying that an oral is possible to be involved with the parah adroma, and we said that's according to Rabbi Tzur of Yosef, etc. There, that's according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that an oral is in that regard like a tummy. Okay, so the Gemara says, Uman Tana de Poligalei de Rabbi Akiva. So which Tana disagrees with Rabbi Akiva? Now, the understanding of the next couple of lines of the Gemara, these next two or three lines, is a bit difficult. And there are several different gusais and several different explanations on it. So we'll go first through a point of Rashi, and then we'll talk about a point of different other Mephoshim. So Uman Tana de Poligalei de Rabbi Akiva. So which Tana disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and says that we learned before that an oral is in fact allowed to do the parah adroma, because we said we brought there two braises, one saying that an oral could do the parah adroma and the other one saying that he can't. So who would be the author of the braise that says that he could? That would be Tana de Rabbi Yosef HaBavli. That would be the Tana Kama who disagrees with Yosef HaBavli in another braise. Netanya, Sreifas Oinen and Mechosa Kippurim Kshera, a Braisa says that if an Oinen or Mechosa Kippurim burn the Parah Adroma, which is of course part of the process of preparing it, Kshera, then the Parah Adroma is kosher. Rabbi Yosef HaBavli Omer, Oinen Kshera Mechosa Kippurim Tshuva. Rabbi Yosef HaBavli disagrees, says an Oinen sure is kosher, because there's no reason to pass Olim. Again, like we said before, the Parah Adroma is not Tonshim Mizbeach. But an oral, he said, but a mechosik kiporim, he says, would be possible to do the parah adroma. So now, Rashi says, apparently we can assume that the same way as he would argue with the other chachamim on mechosik kiporim, he would also argue about oral. So therefore, so we could say that when we said before, braisa, that an oral can do the parah adroma, or at least can sprinkle the parah adroma, that would be according to the Chachamim. Meanwhile, according to Yosef HaBavli and according to Rabbi Akiva, we would say that an oral cannot. That's Rashi's explanation. That's Rashi's girsa and Rashi's explanation. Tosfos has a problem with that because what's the logic? Just because the Tanakhama in this last braisa that we quoted said that a mechosik kippurim is kosher, and Rabbi Yosef HaBavli says differently, does that necessarily mean that they argue about oral? What does one have to do with the other? And after all, also, what do you mean? The Gemara is asking over here which Tana disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. We have a very simple answer. At the beginning of the parak, we said that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold of this word ish, l'rabas oral. He learns exeda shava to say that an oral can't eat truma. Well, according to him, an oral has nothing to do with a tome, or mechosik kippurim, which is also a lesser form of truma. So the Gemara could have easily answered, what do you mean? Who disagrees with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Eliezer. So Tosfos discusses a different girsa over here. The Tanakhama of our braisa over here would be saying that both the Tanakhama and Yosef HaBavli would be saying that mechosik kippurim is possible, and then the Tanakhama would be saying an oral is possible, and Yosef HaBavli would be saying an oral is kosher. So then we would say, okay, we want to find a braisa that mentions the actual name of the Tana. Before we said generically, there are chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say that an oral is kosher. Fine, maybe it's Rabbi Eliezer, maybe not. We don't find explicitly, but here we find a clear braisa according to that girsa that Yosef HaBavli allows. But then Tosfos says that girsa doesn't really work. And there's other questions on Tosfos's answer as well. One of them being and the question really would be on both Rashi and Tosfos in a way. Why did the Gemara save this discussion until here? On Ayin Beis Amud Beis, when we first brought up the point about whether an oral can do the parah adroma, right then the Gemara should have said, which Tana is it? Let's identify the Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. So there are different other explanations having to do with, among other things, the possibility that maybe, in fact, in that Gemara before, and so maybe what in that Gemara we said Rabbi Yosef was the one who said that Rabbi Akiva makes an oral like a tome, and then we had Rava disagreed with that. But what is Rava disagreeing on exactly? Is it possible that maybe Rava is saying that it's not just the that maybe Rabbi Akiva would be saying it only regarding the Parah Adroma, but not regarding anything else? In other words, when Rava is disagreeing with Rabbi Yosef over there on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, is he necessarily saying that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva about Parah Adroma, or would they maybe be agreeing with him? So now the Gemara is revisiting that and saying, after all, we're discussing over here whether an oral is allowed to do the Parah Adroma, and we're saying that fine, maybe an oral is also in Truma and in Meiser, but is allowed to do the Parah Adroma, then maybe we would say we have to find a Tana that actually says so, because maybe according to both Rabbi Yosef and Rava over there, we would say, in fact, that neither Rabbi Akiva nor the Chachamim that disagreed with him would allow such a thing. Hakoros Agro, anyway, sidesteps the whole problem kind of neatly. What he does is he takes out four words from our Gemara, and he takes out the words, the Pola Galei de Rabbi Akiva. So then the Gemara would just be asking, which Tana would it be that's saying that the question isn't about disagreeing with Rabbi Akiva. The question would just be who would be the author of the Braisa over here that says that a Mechosik Kippurim is not allowed to do, is that a Mechosik Kippurim is not allowed to do the Parah Adroma. And the answer would be that, and the answer would be that it would be according to Rabbi Yosef Abavli. Okay, so there's several different explanations and several different girsois over here. It's a bit difficult to understand these couple of lines of the Gemara. Anyway, so that's that then. The point is that we don't really have, so far we haven't explicitly found one way or the other a solid proof whether an oral is also in Maaser Sheni or not. We have various attempted proofs, but we didn't show that any of them are ironclad. But the Gemara continues, but after the Yitzchak suffer oral also in Maaser. Now, we started the sugya by saying that Rav Sheshes holds that he is also in Maaser and tried to bring a proof from the Mishnah in Bechoris. So now the Gemara says, I'll show you that there's another Amora that also says that an oral is also in Maaser Sheni. But after Yitzchak suffer oral also in Maaser. The Amr of Yitzchak, minayin la'oral she'also b'maister, he brings an actual source for it. Nem mimenu b'maister v'nem mimenu b'pesach. By both maister and by pesach, it says the word mimenu, by the Korban Pesach, is al tof mimenu na. Where the word mimenu, as we're going to discuss it here, is kind of extra. And by maister sheni, it also says lo'yachalti b'oni mimenu. As we're going to see in a minute in the Gemara, it actually says multiple times by each of them, it says the word mimenu. But the point is, by both of them, it says mimenu. So therefore, ma mimenu ha'omer pesach oral osoboy, ach mimenu ha'osobomai, so oral osoboy. So the same rules apply to both, that mimenu, just like an oral, can eat from the Korban Pesach. And we know that because it says clearly in the pasuk, so also by Maaser Sheni. However, the Gemara says, mufti. Necessarily, you have to say that this Gzeirah Shavah is mufna, as we talked about in the beginning of the perek. Sometimes you have a Gzeirah Shavah where the words that you're using for the Gzeirah Shavah are really actually used for other drashas or for other meanings in the pasuk, and then that Gzeirah Shavah is called not mufna. The words for the Gzeirah Shavah are not available. Where then you have the different opinions in different places in Shas whether you can even make such a Gzeirah Shavah, but if you do, everybody agrees that you could slog it up. So mufni, the Gemara says, necessarily, you would have to say, if we're going to say Gzeira Shavah on the word mimenu, you have to say that these words mimenu are extra and not needed for any other meaning in the pasuk. The Eloi mufni, because if they're not mufni, ikla mifrach, then you could slog up this Gzeira Shavah by showing that there's a difference between Pesach and Maaser. Malo Pesach sheken chayov and olav mishum pigul noiser v'tomei. After all, a Korban Pesach being a Korban, then the Isurim of Pigul and Noisu and Tomei apply to it, whereas by Maaser Sheni not. So there would be reason to say that what applies to Pesach does not necessarily apply to Maaser. In fact, Tosfos points out, yesterday in the Gemara, we learned six things that Kodshim have over Truma, and of those, five of them apply to the Korban Pesach. Well, some of them are the ones that pay. We said Pei Nun Kuf Ayin Chof Sama. So the Pei and the Nun we're mentioning over here, that the Pigul and Noiser, the fact that the Korban Pesach is a Korban, the fact that Me'ila applies to it, which is doesn't to Maaser Sheni, the fact that a person's Chayiv Koris for eating it when he's not supposed to. And the last one was also the oinen that a Korban Pesach can't be eaten by an oinen. So actually, Avos Habach takes out the samach because the fact is that a Maaser Sheni can't be eaten by an oinen either. The point is, in other words, that the point is there are many things that Korban Pesach has stringencies over Maaser. So therefore, if this Gzeirah Shavah is mufna, then okay, Gzeirah Sakosuv, that's what it is. It doesn't matter that Pesach is more stringent. Nevertheless, we can learn. But if this Gzeirah Shavah is not mufna, then you could shlug it up like that. So the Gemara answers, Loye, indeed, Afnuye Mafni. Indeed, it is mufna. I can show you that the words mimenu by the Korban Pesach and by Maaser Sheni are extra, are available for this drasha, available for this Gzeirah Shavah. My mufni, so in what sense are they mufna? So Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tlosim Mimenu Ksiv, the Pesach, because it's like this. By the Korban Pesach, it actually says three times Mimenu. Because first it says, I'll totally Mimenu Na. Then it continues, the next part it continues, V'loy Seisidu Mimenu Adboker, V'hanosim Mimenu Adboker Ba'esh Tisrefu. So three times it says the word Mimenu. One is needed for the simple meaning of the pasuk to tell you, in other words, that you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach raw. Tosfos points out the reason why you need to say that is because otherwise the pasuk also, the previous pasuk also talks about eating matzah and maror with it. So you would have thought that it means that you can't eat the matzah and maror half roasted or half cooked or whatever. You wouldn't know that it refers to the Korban Pesach. So you need the word mimenu to tell us that it means that the Korban Pesach is what you can't eat raw. V'chad l'gzeira shava. The second mimenu is for the gzeira shava that we're talking about over here. V'chad, and the third one is as follows. The purpose of the third mimenu, there you have two possibilities. L'manda oma bar kasev l'tmacha esar achaloy seser. So you have like this. There's a discussion elsewhere in the Gemara. Why doesn't a person get malchus for leaving over meat from the Korban Pesach? On the face of it, it's a lav. The Torah tells us loisus sim menu ad boker. A lav usually gets malchus. Why is there no malchus for leaving over noisim? And the Gemara says the Gemara gives in other places two reasons for that. Number one, and the first one is because it's a lav hanita kla eser, because the pasuk tells you an eser following the lab. It tells you don't leave over, but if you do, then you should burn it. And that kind of lab, you don't get malchus for. The other opinion says that because the lab shein ben meisah. So lamanda oma bar kasev litmacha eser achalois eser. So according to the opinion that the reason you don't get malchus for leaving over from the Korban Pesach is because the pasuk is giving you an eser after the lois eser, then that explains why you have the third nimen. I did chtiv noiser. Since already the pasuk had to mention noiser and mention that you're not allowed to leave it over, and if you do, then you have to burn it. So once it says that, so it adds the mimenu over there, not because you need it for the simple meaning of the pasuk, but just because, in other words, to tie them together to show that noiser and the burning it go together, and therefore that's a lav, and therefore that's a lav and nitikvayse. Then you have another opinion of why it mentions over there the part about burning the Korban Pesach, that the leftover Korban Pesach. There's another opinion that says that the pasuk wants to stress that you have to wait until the second morning. Namely, in other words, you eat the Korban Pesach the night after the 14th of Nisan. It becomes noser at midnight, but you can't burn it the following morning, which is the 15th, because that's Yom Tov, and you can't burn Pasul Akadshim on Yom Tov, so you have to wait until the 16th. So how do you know that? Because the pasuk says that the lo say sidim imenu ad boker, v'hanosim imenu ad boker ba'esh tisroifu. So therefore, the second boker comes to tell us that you have to wait until another morning. So l'manda amalitin le boker sheinu l'sirpasay. So according to the opinion that we're learning from that, since it says an extra time boker, then it means you have to wait till the morning of the 16th. Well, then the same thing you could say, I did the chtiv ad boker. Since already it has to say ad boker that you have to wait till the morning, then already it adds the word mimenu as well, even though it wouldn't otherwise have been necessary. So therefore, the Rava says, so those are what the three mimenus are for. One legufoy, one for the gzeil shava, and the other one, we have two possibilities what it's there for. Now, that's as far as Pesach. So we know, therefore, that one of the mimenus by the Korban Pesach is available for the gzeil shava, is muf. Now, on the Maisa Sheni side, Tlos Mimenu Ksivi B'Maisa. By Maisa Sheni also it says three times Mimenu. Because it says, Lo Yachalti Ba'oni Mimenu, V'loi Bi'auti Mimenu V'Tomei, V'loi Nasati Mimenu L'Mes. So again, three times it says Mimenu. So therefore, so also, you have, so each one of them is used for a different purpose. Chad L'Gufe, one to tell us the actual din itself, that in fact you're not allowed to eat, that you're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni when it's Tomei. Another one teaches us the din that Rabbi Bohu said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan earlier in the Suvya, that he said that we see that even though you're not allowed to burn oil of Maisa Sheni that's Tomei, but you are allowed to burn oil of Truma that's Tomei. We learned that from the word Mimenu, because Mimenu was a mute. So we said on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis that the posit says, Lo bi'auti Mimenu v'Tomei, implying that you are allowed to burn oil of Truma that became Tomei and use it for lamp oil or whatever. So that's what the second one is there for. V'chad l'dirish Shlokish, the third Mimenu by Maisa Sheni, teaches us what Rish Lakish says. To Amr Shlokish, Amr of Samia, Minayin la Maisa Sheni Shenitma Shemuta l'Suchoi. Now, how do we know? On the other hand, we're saying that Maisa Sheni that became Tomei, you're not allowed to burn it. But how do we know that you're allowed to use it up in a different way? You're allowed to smear it on your skin, which on the face of it, you would think not, because the fact is you're using it up the Tumah, and maybe you can't do that. So how do we know that you're allowed to? So Shenema, because the Pasuk says, the third Mimenu is Volena Sati Mimenu Lemeis. I didn't give from the Maisa Sheni to the dead, from which we learn that it means, in other words, that I did not use anything from Maisa Sheni for any dead purposes. That is where we learn, for example, that Maisa Sheni can be used only for eating and drinking and smearing on your skin. To be exact, actually, Rashi says, lames means something that you could conceivably do for a mess, as you would do for a living person, namely to smear on a skin. So the Pasuk is saying that I didn't do that. I'm implying lames with the Nasati, holochai, gumya de mes nasati. So in other words, the person is stressing when he says vidri meiser, I followed all the rules that the Torah tells me for meiser sheni. I did not use meiser sheni for a dead person, for example, to smear on his skin, but I am allowed, the implication is, I am allowed to use it on a living person where the living person where it would be used on a living person in the same way as it would on a dead person, namely smearing it. So you see from that that it means, you see from that then that the Pasuk is implying that you are allowed to smear Maisa Sheni oil on your skin. And once it says that, then the same thing applies whether the oil is Tomei or whether it's Tahar. So there you go, says Rosh Lakish. That's how you know that Maisa Sheni, even when it's Tomei, you're allowed to smear it on your skin. So now the point is that, Eza Dovash Shava B'chaim V'meisim, Heve Eva Zosicha, what's the only thing that you can do equally well for the living and for the dead is smearing on the skin. So therefore, so the Pasuk is saying, the Pasuk is implying by saying, V'lenesati Mimenu L'meis, that you are allowed to smear Maisa Sheni oil on your skin. And the Mimenu is part of that, that you're allowed to, whether the Maisa Sheni is Tomei or whether it's Tahar. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Maskifla Mazutra, but Mazutra says, how can you say that when the Pasuk is saying, Velenasati Mimenu L'meis, it's talking about that you're not allowed to smear the oil on the skin of a mess. Maybe it means, Ve'ema Likachloi Odom Retachrichim. Maybe it means that the Pasuk is telling you that you're not allowed to use money of Maisa Sheni to buy an Oren or Tachrichim for a mess. So the person is saying that even when Maisa Sheni became Tomei, I couldn't eat it. Nevertheless, I didn't use it for a non-food purpose. And the implication is, what am I not using it for? For something that is exclusive to a mess, namely Onur Tachrichim. But other things for example, smearing on the skin, for example, could be used by a mess, maybe. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe the Pasuk is telling you, for example, Rashi explains that Maiser Tahar you can only use for food purposes, but maybe Maiser Sheni that became Tomei, maybe you're allowed to use it to buy other things, such as a shirt or something, and maybe the Torah is telling you only things that are exclusive to a mess, like Oren Tachrichim, are also. Which in fact, Tosfos says, that is what the Mishnah in Maiser Sheni says, but the question in the Gemara over here is that maybe it means only that, and it means that other things that are done for a mess, for example, smearing on our skin, would be mutter. And the answer is, Amar Abuna Be'ed Yavishua, Mimenu Migufay. No, because that's why you have the word Mimenu over there. It means something that has to do with his guf. The Oren Tachrichim are not part of the, they're placed on the mess's guf, but they don't penetrate in, whereas the word mimenu implies that we're talking about something that penetrates the guf, and that would be smearing on the skin. So if the Pasuk is saying, lo nasati mimenu lames, it means I didn't use any of it for a mess in a way where it would penetrate into him. Rav Ashi says you can learn differently. When it says, lo nasati jumya de lo achalti, the Pasuk is mentioning three things together. Lo achalti mimenu b'tomei, I didn't eat Maisa Sheni in a state of tumah, whether I or the Maisa Sheni is tomei. And then later on it says, Voina Sakim Menu Lames. So therefore it means that the two things have to be similar. Malahal and Migufay, Akan Migufay. Achalti refers to something with your own guf that you're eating it. Therefore, Voina Sakim Menu Lames also has to imply something that goes into the actual mess's guf, namely smearing on a skin. So the Pasuk is telling you, Voina Sakim Menu Lames, that I didn't use, that you're acknowledging that you followed the halacha, that you didn't smear the oil on a mess's skin. Because in fact, that would be also to do. So the point is then that Rosh Lakish is saying, now on the other hand, you're not allowed to smear it on the skin of a dead person, but you are allowed, when the Maaser Sheni is Tomei, you're allowed to smear it on the skin of a living person. So therefore, so that's what the third Mimenu is for. Okay, well then, in that case, so what did we say? By the Korban Pesach, we have an extra Mimenu, but by Maaser Sheni, it comes out, we don't. It comes out, we use all three Mimenus by Maaser Sheni for something. One for one Legufay, one to teach us the din that you're allowed to burn Truma Tanea, and the third one for this din about smearing Maaser Sheni oil that's Tomei on your skin. So, Vakati Mufnim Tzadechadu. So far, then, the Gzeder Shava that we wanted to make on the word Mimenu to tell us that an oral is also to eat Maaser Sheni, it's only Mufna from one side, only the Korban Pesach side of it is Mufna, the Maaser Sheni side is not. So, Hanichalam under Amal Lamedin Bein Meshivin. Now, you have other places in Shas where it says that such a Gzeder Shava is strong enough, once it's Mufnim Tzadechad. We had that earlier in our Masechta as well, actually, that there are opinions that Mufnim Mitzad Echad is in fact strong enough to, that you can not only make such a Zeta Shava, but you can't slug it up. So according to that then, as long as it's Mufna from the one side, from the Pesach Sheni, from the Korban Pesach side, then you're good. But you have another opinion that we learned previously that says you can make such a Zeta Shava, but you can then slug it up if you find a reason to slug it up, if you find a reason to say that one thing is more stringent than the other. So then, Ma'ik Lomema, what are you going to say? After all, we know Korban Pesach is more stringent than Maaser Sheni in many ways. And the answer is, as a matter of fact, you're thinking that all three Mimenus for Maaser Sheni are used. In fact, no. Hafdik of Abohu, the din that of Abohu said, which we're saying he learned from the word Mimenu, is in fact the fact that you can burn truma, that's tomei, we're in fact not learning from there, mitzvah Rav Nachman, amar Rav Baravur Nachman. Rather, we learn it from a different pasuk, namely what Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Baravur. The amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Baravur, my dechtiv, v'anihin in asat al-chaz, mishmeres trumoisai, Hashem says to Aaron, I am giving you the guarding of my trumois, in the plural, so v'shtei truma, sakas medabu. The pasuk is implying that we're talking about two different kinds of truma. Achas truma tahora, but achas truma tmeya. So we're talking about two different kinds, one that's tahora and one that's tomei. But Amar Achmana, locha, and the pasuk is saying that Hashem is saying, I'm giving it locha to you, implying shocha tehela asaka tachas tafshilcha. It means it's yours in the sense that you can burn it under a pot of food that you're making to use as firewood. So you can't eat it because it's tomei, but you can use it for such purposes. So therefore, so we learn that concept that you can burn truma tmeya and have hanah from it, you learn it from that pasuk. Therefore, you're not learning it from the pasuk by Maaser Sheni anymore. Well, therefore, one mimenu by Maaser Sheni is available for Rabbi Yitzchak, because it's Gzeira Shava, and therefore it's Mufna Mishnei Tzadin, and now everybody agrees that it's Gzeira Shava, that's Mufna Mishnei Tzadin, then there's no contradicting that. So therefore, so that's what we're left with, that in fact we find that there is a source to say that an oral is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, and that's how it is. An oral is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. So he's not allowed to eat Pesach, he's not allowed to eat Truma, and he's not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. Again, we did have the Machlokas at the beginning of the Perek. We had the Machlokas we're showing him. Does that apply to Oral Shemesu Echad Machmas Mila, where he's not having a bris because it would be dangerous for him? Rabbi Natan says, that's not the Oral that we're talking about over here. Most of the other Rishonim say, yes, it is. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, now we're done with this discussion of Oral. So now, the Mishnah had said that an oral is not allowed to eat truma, and it also said, b'chol ha-tmeim, anybody who is tomei is not allowed to eat truma. So now we need to work out how we know that. Now we have to remember that when it comes to being tomei, there are several stages in it. You have a person is tomei, well, then they go to the mikveh, and then at that point they're tevuyim, then they have head of shemesh. For most kind of tmeim, that's enough, and now they're completely tahor. And then you have the few mechusri kippurim that we said before, the ones who additionally have to bring a korban, a zav, or a certain kind of zav, a zava, a yoledes, a mitzvah. So for them, they have one more stage, they have to bring a korban, and then they're completely tahor. So now we're going to work out these different stages and see how we know that they apply to truma, namely that a person who's in one or another of those stages cannot eat truma. So Manani, really, where do we know this from? Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, and we've quoted this Pasuk before, Ish Ish Mizera Aaron Vot Sarua Izal. The Pasuk says, any man from the descendants of Aaron, if he has Sarah, so he has a Zav, then the Pasuk continues, he's not allowed to eat Truma. Now, well, it says, actually what it says is, Bakadoshim Lo Yoichol. Now, what do we mean by Bakadoshim Lo Yoichol? On the face of it, Kodshim sounds like it means Korbanus. But no, because since it says Mizera Aaron, a Zehu Dogger Shoshova Bizarre Shal Aaron, what kind of thing is it that's given to the Kohenim, and all children of Aaron can eat it equally, men and women, heavy omezu truma, necessarily it has to be truma, because kodshim are eaten only by male Kohenim. So if it says mizera Aaron, then it implies truma. The Gemara says, why? But aimer b'chaz of a shoyk. Maybe it refers to the chaz of a shoyk of shlomim, which are given to the Kohenim. And as we say in morning davening, amura mehem, what's taken off from a toda and from an eil nazir and from a shlomim, kayotz behem, has the same dinim as them as far as where it can be eaten, except that it's reserved for the Kohenim and their families. What we're saying is with the Kohenim and their families, the Meshayim v'lev name al-Avdeim. So all descendants of Aaron can eat chaz of a shoyk. Why don't we say the Pasuk is talking about that? And telling us that a person who's Tomei cannot eat those, and therefore it's not telling us about Truma at all. The answer is can't. Eina b'chazeres. We have an exception among Zera Aaron who can't eat Chaz v'Shoik. Namely, the case that we talked about, and the cases we talked about in the previous Perek, where a woman, where Bas Koyin was married to Yisrael and then widowed or divorced. So even when he said, even in the cases where she's allowed to go back to eating Truma in her father's house, where her husband left her without any children, but she still can't eat Chaz v'Shoik. We learned from Silkim over there. So therefore, you can't say that Chaz v'Shoik is available to all of Zerah. Okay, the Gemara says Truma Nami, Einam Chalala. Nu, and among descendants of Aaron, I can also find people who can't eat Truma either, namely a Chalala. Namely a woman who we learned in the previous parak, a woman who had relations with a man that's also to her, where then she becomes a halala and she's never allowed to eat truma. The answer is okay, halala lav zara da Aaron. In that case, when she becomes a halala, in effect, she's not even considered a descendant of Aaron anymore. Biologically, of course, she is, but la halacha, we don't really consider her to be a descendant of Aaron, to be in that category anymore, and therefore the fact that she can't eat truma doesn't have any bearing on the words mizera Aaron. Okay. So therefore that establishes for us that the pasuk Ish Ish Mizera Aaron Bakadoshim Lo Yoichal is referring to Truma. Okay, so now the question is, we said that there are several stages in Tara where you have a person goes to the mikveh, and then, now the pasuk says over there going to the mikveh. It says over there that Kim Rochatz Psore Bamoyim, only if he washes himself in water, meaning goes to the mikveh, then he becomes Tahir. But we may the high adasha yitar ad the ikah head of shemesh. But how do we know that it's enough that he has head of shemesh and then he can eat truma? Dum ema ad the maisi kapara. Maybe it means that if he's, after all, the pasuk is talking about a zov ishish for mizera aaron, who sarua a zov. A sarua has to bring a korban. A zov, certain kinds of zovim, as we're going to talk about in the next couple of lines, also have to bring a korban. So maybe the pasuk is saying adasha yitar, that he has to go through the full tara process, including bringing this korban, and only then can he eat truma. So how are we saying that it's not so, and he can in fact eat truma as soon as he has head of shemesh? Where, after all, we said before on Omer Aleph, we brought a braisa that said that a mechusa kippurim is allowed to eat truma. So how do we know that? Maybe in fact he's not. And the answer is loy sakadai. You can't think that way. The tonad veda bishmal, the zav bal shtevius of a mitzvah, a musper, a kosim adab. Because when the pasuk says zav, it doesn't mean a zav. Now, with a zav, you have two different kinds of zav. You have where he had two re'ias, two flows of ziva, or one that was long enough to be two, whatever the Mishnah has discussed the details in the sefer zavim. Anyway, the point is, now you have a Zav who had two of them. He has all the dinim of a Zav in terms of that he's Matamit Shumas Midras and so on and so forth. However, to bring a Korban, he needs to have three times Ziva in order to be Chayiv in a Korban. We learned that in Masechta Megillah last year. So therefore, the Pasuk, when it says a Zav, doesn't mean the one who has three Yiris. It means the one who has only two. And the Mitzvah that the Pasuk is talking about is not a Mitzvah who was confirmed, where he has to be sent out of the city, and eventually when he becomes Tohu, he has to bring his Korbanos, but rather it's talking about a Mitzvah Musker, where he was in quarantine during the 1 week or 2 weeks, until we see whether there are simonim to say that it's definite Tzaraas. So the Pasuk is talking about them. And Rabbi Shmuel says, how do we know that? Dumya de Tmei Nefesh. Because the Pasuk is mentioning three kinds of Tmeim together. It mentions a Zod, it mentions a Mitzvah, and somebody was Tomei Mess. Now, Ma Tmei Nefesh Delav Bar Kaparu. Now, a Tomei Mess, there's no Kapara, there's no Korban that a Tomei Mess brings when his tumor is over. So, Hani Nami Delav Ne Kapara Ninu. Therefore, the Zod and the Mitzvah of the Pasuk also have to be the kind where there's no Kapara involved. And therefore, the Torah is telling you that as soon as they have a head of shemesh, they can eat truma. So therefore, implying that they don't need the korban. Okay, the Gemara says the ema hani mila delav bakapara. Okay, so you could say the pasuk is telling you that fine, any person who doesn't need a kapara, then fine, he only has two stages of his truma. He needs tvila and he needs head of shemesh. And once he does that, then his truma is completely gone, and then he can eat truma. Abel de bar kapara, but maybe the pasuk is still implying that if he does require kapara, if he was a zav with three ra'iyos, or if he was a mitzora muchot and so forth, ad the ma'isi kapara, maybe in fact he can only eat truma only if he brings his kapara. Where do you see that the pasuk is telling you otherwise? The two, furthermore, we have to ask, hoditznan, this that we learn in a Mishnah, that we have distinctions between ma'iser, truma and kodshim, that each one of them requires another stage of this. Tovav ola oichel b'maiser. A Mishnah tells us that that for example with a mitzvah. Now let's say a mitzvah muchlat where he has to go through all three stages. So the Mishnah says in Negoyim that once he tovels, as soon as he comes out of the mitzvah, he can eat ma'iser sheni even before head of shemesh. Head of shimshar oichel b'truma. Then once he has head of shemesh, which is the second stage, now he can eat truma as well. And Hevi kapara oichel b'kodshim, and once the next day he brings his kapara, he brings his korban, then he can eat kodshim. Menalon. So where do we know all that from? So we have two questions. Number one, maybe the pasuk is in fact implying that somebody who is mechusa kapara has to bring his kapara before he can eat truma. And number two, how do we know the distinctions that we said, that we just said, that Maiso does not require even head of Shemesh, and Truma does, and Kodshim require a Korban as well. So we need to work all that out. This, by the way, relates to, at the very beginning of Shas, the very first Mishnah of Brochus, begins, Me'imasai Korin Ashma Ba'iris, Mishar Shakan Mishnasim Lechol B'Trumasan, that from when the Kohenim go to eat their truma, and Rashi over there quotes, or Gemara over here, that we see that as soon as a person has head of Shemesh, he's allowed to eat truma, and therefore, once we define the time of the head of Shemesh, then we also know the earliest time for saying Shema in the evening. Anyway, the point is, so where do we know all these things? So, Omar Rava Omar of Chista, Tlosa Kroyksi. The answer is because there are three psukim that the Pasuk says in this connection, about various stages of Tara. Ksiv v'lo yoicham and akodshim kim rochatz psorim amoyim. One pasuk says over there, these are all psukim, two of these psukim are in that section, in Parshas Emor, which we established that section is talking about Truma. And the third one is in a different place, the third one is at the beginning of Parshas Tazria. Number one, the pasuk says, v'lo yoicham and akodshim kim rochatz psorim amoyim. The pasuk says that he should not eat from the kodshim, which we said before, kodshim means on the face of it, kodshim means truma, unless he washes his flesh in water, meaning unless he goes to the mikveh, implying hol rochatz tohur, implying that as soon as he goes to the mikveh, he's tohur. Uchtiv uvah hashemesh tohur. Then the next pasuk continues that the sun goes down and then he becomes tohur, and then he can eat from the kodshim, implying that he needs head of shemesh. And by the way, the Gemara over there in Brach has explained that the word v'tahar doesn't just mean the person becomes tahar, because in fact, to a certain degree, he's still tameh, because in Mechuzah Kabbara, it means that the sunlight is completely cleaned up from the sky, that the sun is completely gone, and it's seisak kachavim. Anyway, the point is that the pasuk says that he has to bar shemesh v'tahar, and only then can he eat from the kodshim, so that means he needs head of shemesh as well. uchtiv, then you have yet another pasuk by a woman who gave birth, where it says v'chiper alaha akoyin v'tahera. It says the koyin should make an atonement for her by bringing her korban on her behalf v'tahera, and she becomes tahar, implying that up until that point she's tameh. So what is it? What do we need? Toivling, head of shemesh, or the korban? And the answer is okay. So how do you reconcile them? Because they're talking about three different things. Can the ma'aser, can the truma, can the kodshim. The first one, saying that all you need is tevila, is that then you can eat ma'aser sheni. The second one, saying that you need a head of shemesh, is for truma. And the third one, saying that you need the korban as well, for people who have to bring a korban, is for kodshim. What is the epochana? Okay, but after all, the pasuk's not specifying which is which, so maybe flip them around. Maybe say, for example, that truma you can eat as soon as you toivel, then ma'aser sheni you have to wait for head of shemesh. So the Gemara says, "Mistaba truma adifa." It's more logical to say that truma takes precedence and that truma has stricter dinim than ma'aser sheni. You have to wait till a later stage of tara shekein machpaz, because as we said before, truma has the advantage over ma'aser sheni as far as four things: machpaz, which stands for misa, the misa b'dei shemayim for a zor who eats truma. The ches was choymesh, that if you eat truma, if a zor eats truma b'shoigig, then he has to pay back an extra choymesh. You can't be poyde it, unlike you can be poyde ma'aser sheni, and it's also to zorim. So we see that there are four things in which truma has the advantage over ma'aser. So therefore, it's more logical to say that something more stringent, namely the head of shemesh, applies to truma. Okay, the Gemara says, on the other hand, I can find advantages that Ma'aser Sheni has over Truma, and even more advantages. Namely, and those can be represented with this acronym, Hadas Tav. Number one, Havas Mokrim, that you have to bring Ma'aser Sheni to your Shalayim, with Truma you don't. Number two, that you need big dewey for it. They're not always in these things, is the acronym, not always does it use the first letter of each thing. Here, instead of the Vav, we're using the Dalet. So ma'aser sheni, we said the other day, once you finish giving it out at the end of the third year and the end of the sixth year, then you need to do vidui ma'aser on it. Truma you don't have. The samach is that it's also to an oinin, whereas we established before that truma is mutter to an oinin. Number four, we said you're not allowed, the test stands for truma. We said you're not allowed to burn ma'aser sheni, which is tameh, but you are allowed to burn and use it for your benefit. But you are allowed to burn truma, that's tameh, and use it for your benefit, for example, to light a lamp. And the fifth thing, the vase, stands for beer, that you have a mitzvah, you have to eventually do beer ma'aser. You don't have to do, because you have a certain deadline after which you can't keep the ma'aser by you anymore. You have to either give it away to everybody that's supposed to go to, or you have to destroy it. Whereas truma, you don't have that. So therefore, ma'aser sheni has a lot of chumras over truma. So why don't we say that another chumra is that you have to wait till head of shemesh? And the answer is, afilahochi misa adifa. Okay, but among all those advantages that ma'aser has over truma, there's none of them that involves any kind of death. When there is, you can talk about whether misa or kodesh is more stringent, but on the truma side, you have misa b'dei shemayim. That has to outweigh a number of other things from ma'aser. And therefore, we can say that the pasuk is therefore telling you that truma, which has that chumra, so strong that if a person eats it when he's not supposed to, he gets misa b'dei shemayim. Therefore, it's also strong enough that he can only eat it only if he has head of shemesh. Okay. Rava says, never mind that. Even leaving aside the question of misa versus not. There's another reason why the pasuk is clearly saying that it's only truma that needs head of shemesh and not ma'aser sheni. Because omakron nefesh. Because the pasuk says nefesh ki sigaboy, a person who touches any of these things that makes them tummy. And then it continues. Then he's tameh, and he has to go to the mikveh. So a zehu davish, a shava b'chol nefesh. What kind, between truma and ma'aser, what is equally available to be eaten by any person, by any yid? Heveim is a ma'aser, necessarily ma'aser, because truma is reserved only for kohenim and their families. So therefore, automatically that pasuk implies that we're talking about ma'aser. And therefore, if it continues, the rochatz psorei b'moyim, that he just has to wash himself in water, meaning go to the mikveh, then that implies that's all you need for ma'aser. Okay, the Gemara says still, v'akati, still you could understand that we're saying that head of shef still. So far, fine. That establishes that you need Sevilla in order to eat Maisa Sheni and head of Shemesh Petruma. But again, maybe all that is only talked about. As like we asked before, maybe all this applies when there's no korban to be brought. Then fine, as soon as then you have that Maisa Sheni, it's enough. All you need is Sevilla and Truma. You additionally need to wait for head of Shemesh. Still, maybe the implication would be that when there's a kapara to be brought, for example, a zav with three re'ias or a mitzvah muchlat, etc., maybe they need to bring the kapara and they can't eat truma until they do. And we said before that not. We said that even a mechusa kiporim is allowed to eat truma. You just can't eat kodshim. How do we know that? Because within a yaledis itself, within a woman who gave birth herself, you have two psukim. One pasuk says until the days of her tara are completed. So you have, we know that you have she's tamei for 7 days after giving birth to a boy and 14 for a girl, and after that she has 33 days of partial tara for after a boy and 66 after a girl. Now throughout that time, Rashi explains in all that time she's considered tvulas yoim oruk. She's considered it's like an extended state of tvul yoim. She tovled at the end of the 7 or the 14 days, and now she's mutter to be with her husband, but she's still considered that a regular tvul yoim. The sun goes down that evening, nightfall comes that night, and then he saw her with her yoledes. She has to wait 33 or 66 days for the tzeis hakechavim that will make her no longer a tvul yoim. So the pasuk is implying that at that point, implying kiven shemolu yamei hatara, as soon as the days are over, then she's tahor without anything else. Uchdiv, but then a couple of psukim later, it says v'chibra ela koyin v'tahera. The pasuk continues that the koyin has to make the kapara for her, has to bring a korban for her, and then she becomes tahor. So what is it? Is she tahor after the 40 or the 80 days, or is she tahor only after the korban is brought the next day? Okay, said kam the truma, kam the kodshim. So therefore, it has to mean that we're talking about truma and kodshim respectively. Okay, again, the gemara asks for epochana. Again, how do you know that truma, it's enough to just have head of shemesh and kodshim, you need the korban, maybe the other way around. And the answer is, nistabra, kodesh chomosh, ken kanak achas. We have the same thing that we learned before. And in Gilam and Beis, we have six things that kodshim have over truma. Pigul, noiser, the fact that it's a korban, the fact that an ila applies there, that a person is chayiv kodesh for eating kodshim when they're not supposed to, and the fact that it's also to an oinen, none of which apply to truma. And the question is, adarav truma chamor sheken machbaz, we said before, truma has four advantages that kodshim don't. And the answer is hanach nefisha, and the answer is, okay, but six is greater than four. And here we can't say, like we said before, misa adifa, because one has misa and the other one has kodesh. Rabba Omer, and Rabba says, again, like we don't need that svara, Beloy hanach nefisha, my matzis amif. Even without considering the fact that six is more than four, you still can't say that the pasuk is telling you that a person should be allowed to eat kodshim without bringing their korban for completing their kapara. Because after all, omak tov chibra ala koyin v'tahera, the pasuk is saying that the koyin makes the kapara for her and she's tahor miklal shehi tmeah, implying that up until that point she still has a degree of truma. The isak gadach the kodshim. Now, if you were going to say that kodshim, she's allowed to eat at that point before bringing that korban, how is that possible? Ikri kan va'abasa shiga b'chotamei lo yo'ochol. After all, the pasuk says any meat of a korban that touches anything tamei can't be eaten. Now, the mechusa kiporim is still, the pasuk is implying, has a certain degree of truma. So elo shmamin of a truma. Necessarily, therefore, Rava says, even without considering the respective number of advantages that korbanos have over truma and vice versa, the pasuk itself is implying that she has a degree of truma at this point, and since we find elsewhere that any degree of truma prevents a person from eating kodshim, then there you go, that's what it means, therefore, that she can't be eating kodshim until she brings her korban. There is, by the way, a sicha in Chelet Chof Zayin, where the Rebbe talks about this. So the Gemara is saying over here, Tahor Meklal Shi Tmeya. There's actually, the Rebbe brings over there, the Rambam and Rashi each formulate this service a little bit differently. The Rambam formulates it that it's not so much that she's Tomei, but that there's only like one degree of Tumah that still remains on her. For the most part, she is Tahor, and therefore the Rambam learns that, in fact, at that point, if she would eat Kodshim, she's not Chayev Kores. She's only over on a lav, because he says, in effect, that most of the truma is gone. The Raiva, in fact, disagrees. But the Rambam says, no, in fact, a person would be chayiv koris for eating kodesh and the truma. Then Rashi, on the pasuk, phrases it differently. He says that she's called tamei, she kruya tamei. And the Rebbe goes into some discussion what Rashi means by that. What do you mean she's called tamei? Is she tamei or is she not? And so the Rebbe develops the idea over there that she's tamei only in the sense, why does she need to bring the korban anyway? Primarily because of the chet et adas, not so much because of anything that she herself did wrong, but rather because of the after effects of the chet et adas, and therefore in that sense she's called tamei in the sense she herself is not really tamei. She has this restriction on eating kodshim, but not because she's intrinsically tamei, but only because of the after effects of the chet et adas. And then at the end, the Rebbe develops the idea over there that the pnimis enyonim, what Rashi in effect is saying. Now the point is, the Rebbe also discusses, according to Rashi, according to that explanation, it would come out that therefore you have to bring the korban as soon as possible, because you don't even want to be in a state where you're called tamei. A person might well say to themselves, well, I don't have kodshim to eat anytime soon, so what do I care if I remain tamei to a certain degree for the time being? I'll deal with the korban later. Saying that she's kruya tmeya implies in and of itself that she wants to get out of that state of being called tamei as soon as possible. And so the Rebbe develops the idea there at the end of the sicha that in the same sense, between us and the Eivishter, we right now are in a condition where we're called Tomei because we're in Golos, and the Eivishter wants us to be out of that state as soon as possible and to bring us to a state where we're not even called Tomei anymore, where we are fully 100% Torah. Which should be behavior Amen and Mamash.
Amen.